Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back to the live. Happy to have you along. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio with hard-hitting news that the networks refuse to use for September 25th in the year of our Lord 2015. It's hour 2 of 2. Always the goal to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by the founders, absolutely brilliant. The solution, we don't need revolution, but restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, is absolutely welcome and warranted. This is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, Kirk Crosby's with me. Congratulations to you and your lovely wife. Celebrated 34 years of marriage, sir. Welcome.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate the congratulatory wishes.
Accolades, yeah. And the other thing that's important to note about this is just the legacy that's been set by you guys. You know, and it's, we need more of that in America. Less divorce, more stability in marriage and family, etc.
My wife and I were talking about that and, you know, talking about those that have gone before us. And, you know, like in patriotic circles, we think of the founding fathers and those people, but we are grateful for those who, have shown us the way to, ahead of us, our parents, grandparents, et cetera, that, hung in there. I mean, it's not an easy thing. Many times in life, you know, we think, hey, it's easy to just check out when you got a problem or whatever. But at least to me, I'm grateful for those who didn't just, call it quits and move on.
Yeah, and so we would like to also thank religious leaders and many others for standing true on the principle. Speaking of a great legacy as well, the guy on the line, Sheriff Richard Mack, he's, been married for 40 years? Hi, Richard.
That would be correct. My wife has put up with me for 40 years, and I've been lucky enough to have this most beautiful, pretty little blonde girl.
It's kind of amazing how our wife, Kurt's got 34 years of marriage, you've got 40, I've got 23, and man, those three women must be saints, man, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah, all three of them.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. Man, there's so much to talk about, it's hard to even know where to focus here, but I want to at least celebrate for a second on the Shane Harger situation. Shane Harger indictment dismissed. Was it politically motivated is my question. I write an article, which will be released soon on Liberty News Radio and Liberty Roundtable and everywhere we can find. And it documents the details here about this girl's a self-admitted drug addict, self-admitted in a deposition. She makes these allegations against a police officer. And the police officer basically gets indicted, arrested, in jail, solitary confinement, eventually has to pay a massive bail bond to get out, struggles, fights this grand jury indictment based on allegations. Turns out the witness basically lied to the court and everything else and manipulated the jury. It's all been dismissed. The problem is the double jeopardy laws don't apply here, and they can reindict because there's been no trial. There's been no jury of peers. It's already been a year and a half plus. There is no speedy trial. There is no jury of peers. You're not, in a way, you could say you're innocent until proven guilty, but with all that and no end in sight, Sheriff Richard Mack, justice seems to be fleeting. So we had Shane Harger on with us last hour. And after we got done with Shane, we had a caller dial in. I went by the moniker White Rose on the radio. Chimes in on no justice in the fictitious nation. And the reason he called it the fictitious nation is because he goes along the lines of, hey, they're running a corporation by contract here. It's not, you know, your due process, your constitutional rights do not apply. I don't choose to go down that road, even though people think I don't understand that. I understand it quite well. The point that I'm making, though, is whether you go down Shane's road, which is hire attorneys and believe in the system and pray and hope for justice. He hasn't seen it yet. When White Rose and others chime in and say, hey, you got a fictitious republic here going on. It isn't what you think it is at all. And here, it's hard to say they're wrong, sir. Your response?
Well, it is hard to say they're wrong. The further that you get into the fictitious part, though, I've kind of argued with that. The United States Corporation, and they swear, when you swear an oath, you're swearing the oath to the United States Corporation. So when you don't keep your oath, you're not violating anything because the fictitious government. I don't go for any of that. Now, is there a fictitious corrupt system? Yes, but it's because the people are corrupt, and we still have a moral obligation to keep our word, to uphold and defend the Constitution. Every sheriff still has an obligation to support the organic Constitution. We all have a moral, religious, patriotic obligation to support the laws of God. They supersede any corporation or any fictitious thing that may have been established by corrupt officials. We have no obligation to go along with any corrupt portion of the Constitution, the way it's been destroyed or it's been bastardized in any shape, manner, or form. We have no obligation to go along with any of that. And even if it's true that the whole system has been manipulated and, as I said, bastardized, we have, Sam, you and I and Kurt have no obligation to go along with it. We have every obligation to oppose it. And I have no obligation to go along with any fictitious government. And that's been my argument on this issue for the last 20 years. So the organic Constitution.
And by the way, let me just chime in here really quick and say this. An appropriate sheriff could act as the guard against this fictitious abuse.
Absolutely.
And they could interpose themselves on behalf of the citizen and say, well, wait a minute, there is due process here. I insist on a due process situation. I insist on a speedy trial. I demand jurisdictional checks and balances. And you know what? You could have a few good men stand up and force reality into the situation. The sad part for Shane and White Rose is, so far, they haven't seen any justice. And Shane's basically saying, hey, I mean, thank heavens I got this overturned and I'm not indicted anymore, but there's no end in sight. There's no trial. There's no jury of my peers. There's no me proving my innocence, because whether I'm innocent or guilty can't be determined. We can't get there yet. And so even though on one hand he's supposedly innocent, on the other hand he's had to pay through the nose. People have had to help him with money. He's been harassed. His whole life's been on hold, basically, for a year and a half. We're not even close to the end of it. So, to some degree, corruption creates the fictitious reality, even if it's not literal. And there kind of is the rub, right?
Yeah, that's the point.
And we would point to the sheriff for solutions, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, right. And you have a corrupt sheriff there that was part of this. And so then you have the corrupt prosecutor. Who made this happen? Who really pushed this through?
By the way, this prosecutor is a guy by the name of Lemuel. Oh, what's his last name, Kurt? Anyway, Lemuel. Anyway, it turns out the prosecutor now, about 10 days ago, just got accused of assaulting one of his employees. And now there's a big old lawsuit about that. So that's kind of an interesting twist.
Well, that's going to happen when you have officials who become a power unto themselves, and that's what this guy has been. His indictment, his grand jury process was completely corrupt and dishonest, and so that's why this has happened. And a good judge finally looked at the truth, and that took way too long for them.
All right, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to get the name out. Lemuel Martinez is his name.
I thought it was Martinez, yeah.
Okay. Good, yes, sir.
I almost said that. But yes, and this whole thing stinks when you look at the horrible situation that he had at the airport under this crook, Guadarrama. I don't remember Guadarrama's first name. I don't really care. But anyway, when he's attacked by the TSA and then the whole thing, then his entire agency is disbanded and the sheriff goes, well, I don't have the authority to do that. No, but you sure worked on it. And
you sure stripped him of his county what do you call it, co-jurisdictional agreement, etc., which reduced his ability to do his job. By the time the city council did their job or the village council did their job, on one hand, they could say they didn't fire him. On the other hand, they virtually made it to where he couldn't do his job. And then eventually they let him go and took his back pay based on sick days and vacation days, etc. They eventually wound that down, etc. They manipulated. Then they came back with the mainstream press and said we were lying when they said that the sheriff fired him. So literally, they're correct, but intellectually, they're dishonest as all get out.
Oh, yeah. They know they're playing games, and, they had this thing planned, you know, after they got rid of all the office, the entire police department. They kept Shane on sort of this administrative leave thing.
All right, hold on. Quick pause, Sheriff Mac. Right back in seconds. Liberty Roundtable live. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Yes, it is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We break from regular scheduled programming for a couple of seconds. A quick breaking announcement. John Boehner, Speaker of the House, gone, resigning from Congress, giving up his speakership, and come October, he won't even be in Congress. World Net Daily with the details. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, hey,
couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah. It's sure been a long time coming, all I can say. They're saying that McCarthy from California is the majority leader, going to be the next speaker. I'm hoping we're not jumping from the frying pan into the fire, but anyway. That's
So who's going to be the speaker, we think?
Well, it looks like Kevin McCarthy from California.
Yeah, so here's the problem, Kurt. We have so many thugs, so much corruption, where even when you get rid of one, you just end up with another thug filling the vacuum as fast as you can move. What do you say, Sheriff Richard Mack?
Well, unless it's Justin Amash or somebody else that really, you know, believes in the Constitution, which there, you know, there's only about five or six of those left in Washington, D.C., it's not going to make any difference. And you know, I'd be curious as to why Boehner is doing this. Is he resigning from Congress or just stepping down as Speaker of the House? That'd be something.
Well, come October, he won't be a member of Congress anymore either, so.
So he's stepping down from
Congress? As far as I can see, he's moving out of Congress, you know, which means they'll put somebody in, you know, in place of him, and you know, and then they'll move on. You know, it's just the.
In other words, the reason they do that is because they don't have to have elections, right? They can appoint their favorite next person, and then they can run as an incumbent when it comes time.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's how they roll.
That's the MO. So,
all right. Anyway, back to the Shane Harger case. Shane Harger's indictment dismissed, and what I'm saying to you is. I, you know what? Whether White Rose is right and there's a fictitious, I'm familiar with it all. I know the arguments. I've read them in detail. Okay, I know about it. A lot of people don't think I know just because I don't buy into a lot of it. I buy into the fact that it's become reality. In other words, when you have that much corruption, it's hard to tell where the fictitious starts and reality ends, etc. Because, hey, I'll give you an example. Shane Harger. Where on earth is due process? You got an indictment, the guy goes to jail, solitary confinement, has to put up everything under the sun. A lot of people had to help him, CSPOA and others, to get him out. He fights this for a year and a half. The judge dismisses it all, but now they can just start round two, and it never ends. And at some point, where is due process? Well, if there's no due process, at some point it is fictitious, Sheriff.
Well, it is, and equal protection under the law seems to just be thrown out the window as well. It's all been flushed down the toilet. And it's just the same thing as you alluded to when you started after the break on this whole thing, is it's become so corrupt that you have to call the whole thing fictitious. But it's worse than fictitious. It is an absolute crime what is going on in our criminal justice system. And it's this particular prosecutor is just exemplifying what has been happening in our country for decades, and that we don't care about justice, we don't care about morality, we don't care about truth and honor. There's none of that. This man, Martinez, knows that he doesn't have to be honest. He's gotten away with it. Many prosecutors have. How many times do we see in the news now that someone gets off a death row because of a prosecutor hiding exculpatory evidence? We see that all the time. What happens to those prosecutors? I've never seen one of them charged. That's against the law.
I hear that. Now, the guy's name, by the way, that we talked about is Gilbert Guadarrama.
Gilbert Guadarrama, yes. Yeah. And then look at him. This is just another example of what we're talking about. He... And I apologize for my voice today. I've got a sore throat. He gets hired by the TSA after he is dismissed, fired from the Border Patrol for exchanging favors to women, crossing the border illegally. And so he allows that for sexual favors. And then he's put in as a supervisor over TSA. And the reason is because TSA... can't find enough people who are honorable and good who want that job. It's a menial job. And they hire this idiot, this crook. I shouldn't say he's an idiot. He might not be an idiot at all. He might be very shrewd and another Al Capone for all we know. But he breaks the law and is put in as a supervisor for the TSA.
In other words, he gets promoted basically for breaking the law. Now, in Shane Harger's case, the mainstream press tried to discredit us who were reporting what was happening.
Oh, of course.
Because we said that the sheriff fired Shane Harger. That's not exactly right. Jurisdictionally, that's accurate. He didn't fire him. However, with the sheriff's help and the village council help and the this and that, they virtually on a politically motivated reality, fired Shane Harger. Now this is all coming home to roost because Shane is working on lawsuits all over the place. Where it'll go, no one knows. It'll take a lot of money. It'll take a bunch of time. Hopefully we'll have justice and hopefully we'll have due process, but that's going to be a long road to hoe. Now, there's seven questions at the end of my article that I think we still need to ask these jokers in New Mexico. Kurt's got the list. Let's talk about these real quick, and then we'll transition to when we went to Phoenix earlier this week. I want to get to that, too. But let's go through these questions real quick, because I think they're the most important piece to carry forward in Shane Harger's case. Kurt?
Number one, why was Police Chief Shane Harger terminated without any explanation as to the reason?
Okay, now, that's a critical question, because they've never answered that, Sheriff.
No, they never have, and he can be fired, I guess, because they don't have to.
But when they run around, when I say it's politically motivated, and I show item after item after item that circumstantially makes sense there, at some point they have to kind of provide some kind of an explanation.
Yeah. Well,
or they can't claim the other way is the point.
Right. If you don't give an explanation, then you're only going to be questioned all the more. You know,
and that's the whole point, is you can't have it both ways, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And the mainstream press can't take the idea, which is what they did, saying, oh, you're out in the weeds, this is a fictitious story, da-da-da. No, wait a minute. It's fictitious when you say it's not politically motivated, unless you demonstrate the reality of why it's not.
Well, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And we already had evidence that, you know, there was a lot of very strange things going on.
Well, and days before that, they had put in and approved a raise for Shane.
Yeah, and the sheriff was praising him for doing a great job, and then, you know, 3 days later, the sheriff is helping him get dismissed and saying he's incompetent and he's
and a flight risk and everything else, which never turned out to be true. All right, second question.
Second question is, who contacted whom regarding this simple misunderstanding about Shane's use of two different names?
Right now, he has two IDs. The story is very simply explained, okay? He was on a very high-profile murder case. After that, he felt like his family was in jeopardy, so he requested and got a legal name change. And then he went by both names. Now, this to me, people have a different name, especially if they do undercover work or police work. Oftentimes, this isn't something that unique, is it?
And was there any subterfuge on Shane's part about hiding any of that? Was he trying to hide who he was? That never happened at all. He was very upfront and open about that he had two names. And there was no, he wasn't hiding. He wasn't on the run. He wasn't on the lam.
Wait a minute. In fact, he was a police chief, for crying out loud, and that never came up when they hired him.
No. And Shane was upfront about that. He's told everybody why he had two names. Absolutely absurd that they tried to make a big deal out of it, like he's somebody that's trying to hide and he's using an AKA, you know. That just never happened.
Next question, Kurt.
Next question says, why can't Shane obtain all the video from all agencies from the Albuquerque airport?
Well, he got part of it. Part of it they say they don't have. That's kind of convenient, ain't it, though? Quick pause. Sheriff Mack, our guest on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sheriff Mack, our guest, we're talking about the Shane Harger case. The fact is the indictment was dismissed yesterday. However, justice seems to be a long way away, that's for sure. We're asking questions in this case. Kurt's got the next question up now. Go ahead, Kurt.
All right, question number four says, why haven't we had a press conference or an official press release regarding the facts in this case?
Now, isn't that interesting, Sheriff? Because usually they have some kind of a press release, some kind of a something where the media can get a handle on what the real facts are. They haven't done that as far as I can tell either.
No, they haven't, and it would have been really nice if the city that fired Shane and got rid of the entire department. That's huge news. You completely dissolve an entire sheriff's department.
Well, in this case, a police department, right?
Department, sorry. And no press release, no press conference, no really some digging by local press. Local press got after us. You and CSPOA, they got after us for exposing what was going on, and so they got after us instead of going after the mayor and city council who did all this and asked the sheriff, why did you rescind the agreement with Chief Harger?
And then they said, oh, because he's got two names.
Oh, bro.
What? Come on. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You hired him with two names, and I don't know if you knew about it or not. If you didn't know about it, you got a due diligence question on your hands. If you did know about it, then what gives? So neither way, they win there. All right, next question.
Next question says, why did the sheriff and the sheriff and the mayor have such public praise for Mr. Harger's work, including a pay raise in the works from the village just days before this strange unfolding of events?
Well, and that's the reason that an explanation is required here. I agree by law they don't have to have an explanation, but morally, if you want to be transparent with your citizenry, etc., when you've got a praise everywhere for this guy, when you've got a raise in the works for this guy, and then all of a sudden you do a 180 bout face on this thing, or an about face, I'm sorry, you got to kind of go, what? There needs to be some kind of forthcoming explanation.
You would sure think so. And it all looks, every bit of it, just looks so suspicious. I mean, when was the last time an entire police department is dissolved and got rid of, and the chief fired, and is so quiet. Why don't you tell us what happened, and why don't you tell us why it happened?
All right, agreed. Next question.
Next question says, why are the above government agencies unwilling to return phone calls from the media?
See, we've tried to get information. We've tried to get the facts on the record. Every time it's just like, oh, we can never get a hold of anybody. They avoid us. They put us on hold. They give us very limited information. We file all kinds of requests. We get back very limited pieces of information. FOIA doesn't seem to really work in this case or anything else. I'm just saying it's strange, to say the least. All right, next question.
The last question says, number 7, why was Gilbert Guadarrama as an employee of the Border Patrol and fired for sexual misconduct with an illegal alien hired by the TSA and placed in a supervisory role? He should have been charged criminally for his gross misconduct. Anyway, and then there's a little statement.
Yeah, we'll get to the statement in just a second. Hold on. So what I'm saying, though, is, look, you've got this whole politically motivated thing. You got a convicted sex, whatever you want to say, problem at the Border Patrol with an illegal alien. That guy's at the TSA, and Shane Harger's the one being questioned here when there's no proof of guilt, no trial. When someone's supposed to, okay, one guy's already convicted, the other guy's, there's nothing but a self-admitted heroin addict allegation. And we're really going to go down the road and do this to Shane Harger and let this Gilbert Guadarrama guy just hang out at the TSA to touch your wife, Sheriff? Or whoever else?
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, right now, this Guadarrama guy, why isn't he suing you and me for making all these accusations about him? You know, if none of those are true, sue me, you know? Sue you, too.
Well, the problem is then they'd have to talk about it in the media, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do that.
Yeah, he doesn't, because they don't want to go to court on this. And it's the same old that we've discussed on your show numerous times, just like the DEA having sex parties down in Colombia, and the prostitutes are provided by the cartels. You would think that the American people would absolutely be going crazy with outrage on something like that.
Or Operation Fast and Furious right on the homeland.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care, and these crimes are going to continue, and Barack Obama in a year will leave the office as a hero, and that he saved our country from this horrible Bush administration, and the only thing he did was take what Bush was doing and take it to the 10th power. Spend more, go in more debt, spend more, tax more, cause more bureaucracies to grow bigger, bigger, bigger.
But if you elect us, we'll fix it.
Oh, yes, of course.
All right, I want to switch gears because there's just too much to talk about. Yeah. We had the opportunity at the beginning of the week to go to Phoenix, Arizona, and participate at a charter school with Sheriff Richard Mack, who happens to be the history instructor for the scholars at that school. And we had the opportunity to be involved with 7 different classes. 6 of them I had a chance to speak a little bit to and answer questions about my life and my career and all kind of things. The 7th class, we had an opportunity to give a presentation on chivalry and how men and women should treat each other and how it ought to be, how we should behave, etc. Kind of like the Emily Post's Guide to Reality when it comes to men and women a little bit from Sam and Mac's point of view. That went well. And then we had the chance to listen to the students, the scholars, and hear what they had to say regarding the topics of their choice. And they got to basically pick from a list of topics and or make up their own. They're all political modern day topics. And they got to advocate for their position on those topics and provide a well-researched paper, a report, and then an oral presentation on their views and exactly what their point is and why and how they came to their conclusions, etc. It was delightful, Sheriff.
It really was a great time. I got to rest my voice. Obviously, the scholars were the one talking in class, teaching each other about the issues of American history and some current issues as well. Police brutality was one that was a hot topic, and legalizing marijuana was another hot topic. There were presentations on both sides, but overall, as a teacher of these wonderful people, these wonderful scholars, I was amazed by their dedication to their topics, how well they presented it, and how the classes, each other, they supported each other, because there were several, as you very well know, there were several who had a very difficult time getting up in front of the class. They were petrified. They had stage fright. At least three or four of them were bawling even before they got up. And I mean really just crying, big old huge alligator tears. I really loved how their classmates got behind them and supported them and helped them. And all of them, even when they were crying up there, finished their reports.
Now, I want to mention kind of one interesting thing. And that is, you know, the reports, a lot of the speeches were well done. I appreciated their insights and their work and their efforts.
Uh-huh.
I thought they did a good job. And even the ones that may not have been the best speakers, they all had the guts to have courage and to truly get up and do something, in my opinion, that will bless them for the rest of their lives as they learn to present to people and communicate with people. Communication is one of the great keys to success. But what impressed me the most out of the whole time, the whole event, and I want Kurt to chime in on what struck him as important too, but that is the respect that they showed to me, the respect that they showed to you, their instructor, the respect that they showed to each other, the reverence. In other words, they were all quiet and for the most part listening. They respected the person that was speaking and presenting. They were very kind to one another. That civility, if you will, is what impressed me the most about the whole thing. That's my humble opinion. Kurt, you want to chime in?
You know, as I think about it, you know, those were impressive to me as well. And to me, the key reason you've got that going on in that classroom is because of who is directing the classroom, Sheriff Mack.
Yeah, and I challenged the biggest kid in the class to an arm wrestle. That might have helped too, huh?
Well, he demands respect, and he, you know, he also gives it as well. And so, you know, even in a somewhat hostile situation, when I say that, I mean, you know, you've got limits that are given to you about, hey, what you can and can't speak about, etc. But he does very well to, you could say, push the envelope in that area.
So more in seconds that. On the fantastic time we had in Phoenix. What's coming up on the radio as a result of those wonderful experiences? And then what's going on with the CSPOA coming up? You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sheriff Richard Mack riding his shotgun on the Freedom Loving Friday.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
One scholar started out his speech thus: "We are living in the land of the free, but we have the highest rates of incarceration in the world." The scholars did a tremendous job. There was respect. It was a delightful experience to be had, and I think elevated language, using the term scholar for the students. Yes, ma'am, no, sir, whatever you want to say, please, thank you. Appropriate language made a lot of the difference. But, Sheriff, I want you to respond to this before we go on. And that's, Kurt made a point right before the pause, and I think it's a wise point. They gave respect because they got respect. Isn't that pretty much key in what you do?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so, anyway. That's the way I've aimed it. I've promised them in class that we will treat each other with respect and that we will have fun in class. I've promised them that we'll have fun in class. Now, we've actually done a little Price is Right game off of topic and curriculum trivia, and they just loved that. That went, like, the whole school went crazy over that. The ones who didn't get to participate were really disappointed in other classes who don't have my class. But this is the thing. I hope that I am leading in a very respectful manner, and that they know that, and that I am very friendly and cordial with them. But it's also very respectful, and no one is ever put down in my class, not by me, not by any other student. They have to treat each other with respect. And we have one number one rule, and you saw this: I can try. Any student that starts balking or whining or about any assignment, I just point to those three words on the board. They've been there every day on the board: I can try. Then the overall motto for the class is, have courage and be kind, the motto and theme from the Cinderella movie that came out last March, I believe. And so the scholars, the students, are taking this to heart, and it's been so gratifying for me to see this. And you alluded to this number one thing, that they were able to conquer their fears, do something that was hard and difficult. And I told every class this afterwards. By the way, they're all very anxious to hear which ones are going to be asked by you to be on the radio to discuss some of these topics further. But I told them, I said, you have learned something that would be the most valuable lesson in life, that you can actually look at you, understand who you are, understand your inhibitions, and conquer them. And even if you're afraid to do something, you do it anyway. I said, that's the number one lesson that anybody could teach you, and that you've been able to learn a glimpse of that at this young age is absolutely phenomenal.
It is outstanding. Now, let me give you an example of some of the topics that were discussed. Freedom of religion. One person advocated against capital punishment. And again, I'm not here to even debate their rightness of their reasoning in many cases.
It was the debate.
They wanted to present the topic that they felt passionate about. And as I spoke to the class, I said, look, I want to see passion from you. I want to see that you researched your topic, that you care about it, that it matters to you. I want you to advocate for your position. And then I want to see passion and conviction from you. And let me tell you one of the thought-provoking questions one scholar asked. You ready for this? Can we live in a country that is both free and drug-free? That's a serious, in-depth question when you begin to cogitate on that one, sir.
Yeah, that brings up all sorts of things. If we're really going to be drug-free, then do we have a totalitarian government that's just making sure that we are, despite or the rules of the Bill of Rights notwithstanding?
Yeah, and if you really have freedom, is it possible that you would have drug-free as well? And the easy answer, you'd say, well, no, it's not possible. At the same time, you got to discuss, if it's not possible, then how can we make it as close to possible as we could get? Because that's what we really want, right?
Well, that's what we want, and that's why I don't support the drug war as presently constituted, because it's just another excuse to destroy the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment. And so, yeah, and the right to privacy was another huge issue that was brought up by the scholars.
Another scholar brought up, quoting Blackstone, which is what the founders used to do virtually on a daily basis, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, the ones that went the extra mile and did stuff like the quote from Blackstone, they got a very good grade because of that.
Now, another student.
All graded, by the way.
Say that again?
This was all graded.
Oh, yeah, every bit of it. Their content, their speech, their report, their disposition, their behavior, while other students were presenting, all of it in the mix. Now, another student made a very interesting claim, which I agree with. They basically said, we need to change the way cops are trained. That's a solution to the police brutality issue, which I agree with. But then they made this statement, and I think it's very, very important. Think about this. Cops are not here to enforce the law, but rather to protect our rights. Think about that, Sheriff.
Well, yeah. And that a sophomore or junior in high school could say such a statement shows a lot of insight. And, yeah, that's an amazing statement. And that was done by Ryan, who's a football player. And you know, he really, his calling card is football. And he didn't want to do any of this. He told me he wouldn't do it. And, in fact, we practiced with him over and over, and I told him, I said, Ryan, all I want to see is some of your passion for football to transfer over to our American history class. And he did it. And I'm telling you, the one that I was the most impressed with was Ryan, because he went up above himself. I told everybody in the class, if you're an A student, I better see A-plus work on this project. If you're a B student, I better see B-plus A work on this. So on and so forth. I don't care what where you are, you better do better than your own ability. I want you to go above yourself. And those who did that got a great grade. Those who went above their self, their normal activity, their normal performance ability, they were raised up.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I found it fascinating. I found the whole idea intriguing. We are indeed going to put several of these students on the radio. Part of the problem we're facing is, Sheriff, I'm not sure who to eliminate is the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like, what's that reality TV show, Survivor or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like the opposite.
Yeah. Well, there's. I've asked them in the classes how many of them want to be on. And so you're not going to have too much of a problem with that, because, like, Ryan has said no way that he would be on the radio.
You wait till I talk to Ryan.
Yeah. But I think if you asked him that he still would. But he has been saying in class, you know, that he wouldn't do it. There's several others said absolutely no way. There's others that are hoping so bad to be on, it's not even funny. I mean, this is like almost their life dream to be on your radio show.
Hey, it was my life stream to be on the radio, too, and I got it done.
Yeah, but Mary, and I don't even remember what her topic was. Oh, I think it was police brutality. And as soon as I announced this possibility and that you were coming and that the best ones would be put on the radio, she was coming in every day. Oh, Sheriff, what do I have to do to get on the radio? I want to make this the best. What do I got to do? I said, well, one, you might want to work on your radio voice.
I'm still working on mine, sir.
Yeah, me too. That's what I told her. I said, look, I said, I don't have that much of a radio voice. So the main thing is you got to make sure that you really enunciate, that you speak clearly. And I said, you seem to do that already. So she's a top student. She's in student council, and she does the announcements over the loudspeaker for the whole school quite often. So she knows what she's doing. There's these others, though, that I'm still hoping will come out of their shell, like Leslie Garcia did. Oh, my God.
One of the shyest girls ever did the stand and deliver that was shocking in a good way. It was like shock and awe. Only because it was so unexpected. However, it was delightful.
It was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. And she shocked the entire class. The entire class said the same thing. I've never heard her talk so boldly and so courageously and with conviction. They've never heard her do anything with conviction. And then she gets up there and does this presentation about, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it patriotism?
I think so, yeah. I'd have to look them up. There's so many of them, I don't want to get them confused, but I think so. Before the end of the hour, I want to just quickly transition to, and we'll keep you up to date, this will be an ongoing theme about these scholars on the radio and educating the youth about the proper limited role of a constitutional republic, etc. But there's a lot of things going on for the CSPOA. We are working on a program where people can become certified CSPOA trainers to educate about the proper role of government, about the oath of office for government officials, about how to carry out their jurisdictional responsibilities, how to interpose themselves, how to nullify, how to stand for jurisdictional realities, making the checks and balances that our founders spoke of and lived by come to life in modern times. That's going to be a big focus of what we're working on, right?
Yeah, it is. And the more that we've talked about it, you and me and the rest of the staff, is I think this is the best idea we've come up with in a long time. So we'll have maybe 15, three or four, depends on the size of the state. There could be as many as 15 trainers in Florida and Texas and maybe even more.
And we're working on it. We're about out of time. I want to say one last thing before we let you go, Sheriff. Uh-huh. The scholars were so insightful, so influential over us,
yes,
as constitutionalists, that you might even write a book about a frog.
Oh, yes, because Morgan Ferris did a takeoff on ignorant frogs with the frog getting in the cold water and turn up the heat. She did that, and I want to write a book, seriously, because of her inspiration to me on this. I want to write my next book. It's called Ignorant Frogs.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. With that, we the people can restore the republic. This nation shall endure. CSPOA.org and LibertyRoundtable.com.